Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. You know, Christ just would love for us to just trust Him. He said, man, that's super simple. You know, every time a preacher preaches, if he's God's preacher and preaching out of God's book, the goal is to get you more like Christ and to just trust Him. Trust Him with everything. Trust Him with your soul, with your life. Just fully rely on Him. I heard an argument the other day where there was some people arguing back and forth about old-time religion and things like that. And they said that churches like ours, they make God so big and make us seem so small that God is unattainable. And that's not the purpose. It's not to make God so big and you so small that He's unattainable. It's trying to get you to see that you can't do anything without Him. He doesn't want you to do anything without Him. They just say that we're but a worm. That's all we are. We're but dirt. We're but dust. All these things. And they say God is just so far out of reach. Well, the problem is the God that they've created in their mind is accepting of their sin. That's the God that they serve, is okay with sin. But the truth is, He just wants us to trust Him with everything. That's why we make Him look big, and that's how we know we're small, that we need Him. And then, after we acknowledge that we cannot do anything without Him, and that we have to have Him, and then He begins to do a work in our heart, and He begins to make somebody out of us. He begins then to do something with us. Then we're complete in Him. Then we're perfect in Him. Then God can begin to do something with our lives. But it's nothing to do with the message. God cares. God cares. He doesn't want you trying to figure it out on your own. And as long as you do try to figure it out on your own, He's going to sit back and wait for you to get finished. And I'm thankful that He'll be there for us when we get done trying to figure it out on our own. Psalms chapter number 33 in your Bible, if you would, this morning. Psalms chapter 33, this message that I believe that God's laid on my heart for this morning is going to deal with a confusing subject. And God's not the author of confusion, but it's going to deal with a confusing subject in which the days that we live in. And I want to preach on this for a few minutes this morning. Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 18. When you found your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, and upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Amos. And I realize that'll take you a little bit to find. It's one of the minor prophets. You got Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. You'll find the book of Amos. It's right after the book of Joel. Amos chapter number 8. And I should have told you to hold your place in Psalms 33, but you can find that a lot quicker. So you can get back to that in just a moment. Amos chapter number 8. We find there in Psalms where David writes about these things that God will do for us. And one of them was protecting us during a famine. During a famine. There's a lot that can be preached about famines. The Bible talks about famine in the end times. It talks about famine back in Genesis. There was famines that came through the land. There was famines that were sent from God. There was some that just happened. Things that God knew what was going on. But God always took care of His people through the famines. The people that put their trust and faith in Him and trusted Him with everything, God took them through the famines. God would send a boy by the name of Joseph to go through some horrible things so that he could feed God's people during a famine. God has a way of providing. Amos chapter number 8 and verse number 11. Amos chapter 8, verse number 11. If you found that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. This famine that Amos speaks of here is a famine that God sends. You say, why would God do something like that? We find back in his earthly ministry that he came to the Jews and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that there was going to be a king and he was going to sit on the earth and establish his kingdom. And they didn't want to hear it. So before the end of his earthly ministry, Brother Bowen, he stopped preaching to the majority. He only spake in parables. And everybody looked at one another and said, I don't understand what he's saying. I don't hear what he's saying. And then he would move over to his little flock, his disciples, his followers, his believers. And then he would explain to them what he just preached. He showed a picture of it there when he would stop preaching to the majority. He would speak in parables only. And then eventually he just stopped preaching to all of them altogether. Why? Because he's unmerciful? No. Because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. We're living in a day today that's just like it's described here in Amos. There's a famine in the land. And I'm talking about the United States. That's where we live. Over in Papua New Guinea, they're having a revival of Bible preaching and people getting saved. And I thank God for it. We're in a famine here. We're in a famine in our country. We're in a famine in our even town. We're in a famine in our homes. And it's not because there's a lack of preaching. There's a preacher on every corner in this town. It's not from a lack of preachers. They're everywhere. The Bible said the famine was not a lack of preaching. It was not a lack of preachers. It was a lack of hearing the word of God. And we're dealing with that. Amos, I've heard some people refer to him as the part-time country preacher. He was just a farmer that God sent to preach a message of judgment. He preached a message to prepare the people for coming judgment. Brother Jim's been teaching on some of these things. And I want to tell you today and remind you, we have a lot of preachers in our church that our preaching is no different than Amos's. We are to preach to prepare people for judgment. We plead with a sinner to get saved because hell's coming. We plead with the saints to get right with God and stay right with God because the judgment seat of Christ is coming. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Why do you preach the way that you do, Brother Andrew? Because I'm just trying to prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ. I'm trying to see souls get saved. Amos, he preached to prepare Israel to meet the judgment of God, and we do the same thing. In our text found in Amos, we find that the Lord is the one that sends the famine. And we find out back in his even earthly teaching and preaching that he stopped preaching to the masses. He spoke in parables. I just mentioned that. They had their chance. They had their chance. We've had a plethora of preaching in our country. We've had some good preachers. Just as Noah was mocked for preaching, the preacher of righteousness, just like other preachers and prophets of the Old Testament, a real Bible-believing preacher today is ridiculed and mocked. Ridiculed, mocked, made fun of. We have no shortage of preachers and preaching. If you're on social media, God help you, because you're going backwards. Trying to get ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Every time you look at it, you take a step backwards. There's filth on there. I don't care who you follow and who you watch. Filth will pop up on the screen every single time. Distractions. Good and quiet. There's no shortage of preachers. There's good Bible-believing preachers that preach every day. Brother Sonny Tolbert every day gets on there and he preaches his heart out. I mean, good preaching. I mean, almost a lot of churches, almost all your good Bible-believing churches, they got some kind of online ministry where preaching's going out. It's not the lack of preaching. It's not the lack of preachers. The problem today is there's a famine of hearing. The famine of hearing. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, Paul told us that the same problem that would happen to the nation of Israel is going to happen to us. And I'm here to tell you it's happened. We are in a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You can find Bible preaching anywhere. There's websites dedicated to nothing but preaching. Okay, so what's wrong, Brother Andrew? We're going to get to that in a second. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you found your place there, say amen. Look at verse number 1. Paul's talking to young Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing, and his kingdom. This is why we're preaching, trying to prepare people. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come and is here when they will not endure sound doctrine. It doesn't say that there won't be sound doctrine. It doesn't say there won't be preaching. It doesn't say there won't be preachers. They're not going to put up with it. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth. They're facing truth. They hear the truth. They know it's truth. But they're not going to hear it. They're not going to put up with it. That's what it says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll believe anything. But the Bible here says that this is going to happen to people that know truth and they know sound doctrine, but they're not going to put up with it. And when that happens, they can be turned unto fables. And they can believe anything that they're told now. They can be persuaded toward anything that they're told. Why is there so much confusion surrounding the Word of God and preaching? Because there's mass confusion. What church do I go to? What Bible do we use? Christians everywhere wandering aimlessly along. I don't know what voice to hear. I don't know what voice to listen to. And there's confusion and they don't understand what's going on. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. People wandering around. They don't know who to listen to. They don't know who to follow. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's people that have chose not to believe truth. That's what we're dealing with in Amos. That's what we're dealing with in 2 Timothy. They chose not to believe truth, and now they're going to follow a fable. They're going to believe a lie. Satan has tried to disrupt the hearing of the Word of God ever since the garden. Bible said in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. From the very beginning, Satan has had a desire to confuse people. And he started with Eve. God said something, And Satan caused Eve to question what God was saying. And now she said, did I hear that right? I must not have heard it right. And Satan's been trying to do that since the very, very beginning. Satan has put in the hearts of man that they need to try to be like God. Ever since the very beginning. In Genesis chapter number 11, we find a story. We're not going to look at all these for sake of time, but Satan decided to try to convince man that they can be like God. And there's people today that believe they're little gods. It's everywhere. And so they begin to get together and they're going to build a tower to reach heaven, to reach God. They were never going to make it. But God confounded the languages and He spread them all over the world. So how in the world did people end up in America and end up in Antarctica and ended up here at the Tower of Babel? God picked them all up and scattered them all over the world. And wherever they landed, they had a language, and they spoke it to one another. God scattered them all over that's how people got everywhere. He scattered them. God's not the author of confusion. Man got together. God did confound. Confound and confuse are two different things. He spread them all over the place. Now they begin to speak different languages because God knew that Satan had put in their hearts that they would all come together and form a unity against God. We have governments today and we've got people and even religions that have formed a unity against God. So you got this group over here and this group over here and this Bible over here. Who do we listen to? Everything that God has ever done through His Son Christ, Satan has tried to mimic it. Now, I'm not talking this morning about satanic churches. That's obvious. There are Satan worshiping services. And you don't think that's a real thing? There's public schools right now having to teach Satan classes because they allow Christians to come in and teach after hours stuff. And so they have to let Satanist churches come in and teach your children. It's happening right now. But I'm not even talking about them because in my eyes, most people, they're not persuaded to follow Satan. Even though there's flat-out Satan worshipers. The confusion comes in is when it looks a lot like the real thing. Satan is an anti Christ. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to look a lot like Him, talk like Him, behave like Him of sorts, but He's not the real thing. But it's so close that millions are going to be deceived. I've preached this before several times, and for sake of the message, I'm going to mention it again. God, through His Son Christ, has a church in whom He gave Himself for. He has a church. Church of the living God. Satan has churches that look a lot like the real thing. Yeah. It even sounds a little bit like it. And the music is close. The music, it has some of the same lyrics, but it's just a little bit different. Satan's anti-Christ. It looks a lot like the real thing. I believe that Christ has empowered some men to preach His word. God called preachers. And Satan has some preachers that he's called that are pastoring Baptist churches. It looks a lot like the real thing, just a little bit different. I'm trying to get somewhere here on a famine of hearing the word of God. There's so much confusion. God has a Bible that He has preserved in heaven. He's preserved it down through the ages. And I believe that we can physically hold the Word of God in our lap that He preserved, perfect, blameless.
And if you tell me, and I've preached on this several times, if you tell me that he can't preserve a Bible, then how in the world is he going to keep your sorry, good-for-nothing flesh saved? Amen. That book doesn't do anything against him. We fight against him every day. He has a Bible that he has preserved, and you can follow it. You can trace it through history where God's hand was on it, and he preserved it. I believe that with all my heart, that God can preserve a book. So Satan's got Bibles. And they're close. Some of them are real close. And for those that are more deceived than others, there's some that aren't even close. But they still say Holy Bible on the front. Back in Genesis, when Moses and Aaron came forth, said, "Let my people go," they performed miracles by the power of God, and Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. What are you trying to say? Satan's got power to do that too. Now, he's not omnipresent, he's not omniscient, he's not all the things that God is, but he sure wants to be. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is one surefire way to cause confusion and hearing problems where people will not hear the Word of God? Let me tell you a few ways he tried it. I'm hurrying. A few ways he tried it is, one, he tried to get rid of the Word of God. A matter of fact, he started with Christ himself, who is the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He tried to destroy him, and he couldn't do it. We can go down through history, and we can show time and time again, even in the Old Testament, where the Word of God, the original, was destroyed, and God gave it right back to them. We find where Bibles have been burned, and the devil tried so very hard to just get rid of the Word of God. He doesn't want you to hear it, so let's just get rid of the Word of God. And the more he tried to get rid of it, the more it was mass-produced. It got out of hand. He couldn't stop it from being printed. He couldn't stop it from being produced. He couldn't stop it from being preached. It just went out by the droves, because you're not going to hold back the Word of God. So now that's not going to work. He's tried it. The Bible says in Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You're not going to get rid of the Word of God. Okay, well, that didn't work. So if we can't get rid of the Word of God, let's just tell people it's not the truth. That book's a lie. Then you have these evolutionists that came forth and said, Genesis 1:1, right in the very beginning, all that's a lie. And then they begin to teach it in the schools. And every time this happened, there's a few people that stop listening to the Word of God. But as a whole, people said, "No, you're a liar, Satan. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created male and female, created he them." And so he tried to get rid of it. He tried to tell people it's not the truth. But the problem is, there's too many people that believe that it is the truth. So that didn't work. He tried to get rid of it. He tried to tell people it's not the truth. None of those worked. So what Satan began to do was start a movement to cause confusion. I'm going to do something really quickly, and I know what time it is. Get my dad and Brother Stephen, Brother Jeff. Would you guys come up here? I got to do this quick. Y'all stay with me. I'm getting somewhere here. You got your message. All right, Brother Nick, you come. Hurry up. Elijah, come here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. All the mics on. Piano mic, too. Very, very quick. I just want to show you something. You know how the Lord speaks through His Word? You believe He speaks through His Word?
Amen. Amen.
Well, the Bible describes it in one spot as a still, small voice. Right? Mm-hmm. So I believe, Elijah, just come stand over here, Elijah. Elijah's got a still small voice. We're trying to get him to preach louder, but he's working on it. All right, turn it up good. Get close to it. All right? For years in the country, I believe we had preaching of the Word of God. I mean, there's history. History shows us and tells us of the great revivals and the great preaching of the Word of God. And then in 1901, the American Standard Version came out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You say, what are you getting at? Satan couldn't get rid of the Word of God. He couldn't convince people that it wasn't the truth. That God didn't have a book. He couldn't do that. So then he began to flood this nation with a lot of voices that sounded like the real thing. It was so close. It looked like the real thing. There's preachers that endorsed it. There's schools that endorsed it. Why? Because it's so close. It's a better reading. It's a better this. And began to flood. And so all these mics turned up. So what began to happen is Elijah's going to read by himself Psalms chapter number 23. Just read the first verse.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
This is probably one of the most popular passages of scriptures in the world. I mean, on the back of almost every obituary is this psalm. Lost people recognize this psalm. Now, what version do you have?
NIV.
NIV. New Living Translation. The Message Bible.
Contemporary English.
Contemporary English. All these are different versions. And these are ones we see flooded all over the place. We go to Teen Challenge and preach, they have all these versions.
Oh, yeah.
Go to these other churches. The preacher gets up and he begins to preach. And even if he has a King James, he corrects it and says, I like the reading better in this one here. Now the Word of God is not the authority.
Right.
Now that man is the authority.
Right. Man.
So now you're telling me we cannot have an authority today. Satan can't take the Bible away. He can't tell you it's not God's Word. They all say Holy Bible on them. But he can get you to stop hearing the right thing because we start hearing all these other noises. I want all of them to read Psalms 23. Hold the mic up good. At the same time, read Psalms 23. Go ahead.
God, you, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need.
He lets me rest in the green pastures.
He leads me beside peaceful
waters.
He renews my strength.
He guides
me along
right. He let my rest in the fields of green grass. He leads me in the shades of peaceful waters. I will not be afraid. You are true to your name, and you lead me
where you are beside me. Your rod and your staff, they have comforted me.
You serve me as if you are with me. Your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe.
My true
being is in the head. All my enemies watch, you honor as your guest. You beautify my cup,
your goodness,
and
let
over us. Your kindness and love will always be with
me.
Each day of my
life,
I will forever live in your house, Lord.
God is not the author of confusion. What I'm trying to illustrate here is you got people that I pray they're saved, but the gospel's so watered down, it's so muddy, you don't even know who's saved and who's not saved. And you got people that wander through life and they might even come to a good independent Bible-believing Baptist church where there is a preacher that preaches, thus saith the Lord, and tries to magnify Christ and tries to lift him up. But as soon as they walk out of that door, there's voices everywhere. There's some that are just in flat-out rebellion. They're not going to listen to any Bible. But then there's some that listen to other voices. And then when they hear the preacher preach and says, this is what God said, they say, is that really his word? Because it reads like this over in this version.
Yep.
Oh, that's just your opinion, preacher. Because the pastor down the road said something different.
Oh, yeah.
He sees it differently than that. I'm just trying to get you to see, to illustrate this morning that we're trying to go through this life. There's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this. If you were to have to listen to that every time you went to church or every time you tried to open your Bible, would you quit?
Yep.
I wouldn't put up with it. It's a mess. I would ask for any one of them to just read their one passage, but I'm telling you, it's blasphemy against God.
Right.
Man.
Especially the one Brother Stephen read, the Message Bible. Absolute blasphemy. Amen. You know why people get up and they walk out and they leave and they just don't see it that way? There's confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Thank y'all. Y'all can just set all that stuff down there on the front. Elijah, bring me my Bible back. The Old Testament prophets, they stood and preached. They preached the Word of God. Satan had false prophets. False prophets that pulled up. And that the preachers preached against the false prophets. It was something that had to be done. It was a similar message, but it was a conflicting message. John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said there was no resurrection. This didn't start with us. There's been confusion about what the Word of God is for a long time. Today we have televangelists and milquetoast preachers that preach something that seems like the real thing, but yet it doesn't quite line up. It has more of a humanistic view. And you can be like God. Satan could not get rid of the Bible, so he flooded the market. I forget the number. I think just in English alone, there's over 217 versions of the Bible. You can buy a Homer Simpson Bible. You can buy a gender-neutral Bible. All these different Bibles that make you feel comfortable. It's all a part of his plan. Why would we know? The Bible said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So why would we allow his devices to distract us from hearing the Word of God? God speaks through his Word. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:1, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You will not hear clearly unless it comes from the Word of God. So Satan has caused all this distraction. Well, that song sounds good. It's got the right words. I could go on and on and on. Satan doesn't want you to hear it. I want to give you this real quick and I'm finished. Signs and symptoms that you're losing your hearing. Signs and symptoms you're losing your hearing. Number one, there's muffing of speech and other sounds. You know what I picture when I read this, Brother Carl? I picture me up here preaching and saying, "This is what God says to do." And then I picture somebody sitting in the pew and this is what they hear. Womp, 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 womp. Just like in Charlie Brown. That's all they hear. Womp, 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 womp. That's a sign that you're losing your hearing. You allowed outside things to damage your hearing. You've allowed education to damage your hearing. You've allowed social media to damage your hearing. And now when the preacher preaches, it's all muffled. Congratulations, Cameron, on your graduation today, buddy. Difficulty understanding words, especially in a crowd. I just don't see it that way. I just don't hear it that way. Trouble hearing consonants. If this book is not a constant in your life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Frequently asking others to speak more slowly, clearly, and loudly. Now, I realize as I go through here, some of you are going to say, "I've got hearing problems and I need to go to the hearing doctor." But I'm speaking, spiritually speaking. Frequently asking others, what do you think about this? What does the church down the road think about this? What does this Bible version think about this? Why? Because you can't hear clearly. You've got to ask others. Well, what do you think about it? Needing to turn up the volume of the television or radio. I don't know how to spiritually apply that one, but it's on the list. Listen to this. There's a lot of spiritual application here. Withdrawing from conversations. These are signs that you're losing your hearing. We're talking about spiritually. You don't want to be there as often for church. You don't want to talk about spiritual things. You want to talk about carnal things. Avoidance of social settings. How many have we seen turn around and walk right out the door? What happened? It wasn't because there wasn't preaching. I didn't say good preaching. But it wasn't because there wasn't preaching. And it wasn't because there wasn't a preacher. It was because I'm not going to hear that no more. I will not hear that anymore. Psalms chapter 33. Look at this promise in the Word of God, this prayer that David prayed to the Lord. And he mentioned some things here. The title of the message is, How Do We Survive a Hearing Famine? How do we survive a hearing famine? Psalms 33. Look at verse number 4. You there? Say amen. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Christ prayed to God the Father after preaching to his disciples. In John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to survive a famine of hearing in this land? Shut off and turn off everything other than what God says. Well, it's not pop. Shut it off. That's not what the Bible says. Amen. Shut it off. Well, the Bible's all, it don't matter. It is right. It is truth. You want to survive a famine of hearing in this land? Shut off everything else that does not line up with the Word of God. Just shut it off. They can say it all they want. They can bark it out. They can scream. They can make all these noises they want to. But in our heart and our mind, we say, that goes against the Word of God. I'm not listening to it. You want to survive the famine of hearing in this land? Stay with this book. Stay in this book. Down in verse number 18, he also tells us a couple other things. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that what? Fear Him. We need a new, healthy respect for God. A respect for His Word. A respect for God and what He thinks. We need to fear Him once again. I tell you what, if we have a reverence and a fear for Him, we're not going to worry about everything else around us. My faith and my trust is in Him. We need a hope in Him. Verse number 18, upon them that hope in His mercy. Hey, I trust Him with everything. You can trust Jesus. They didn't know what I was preaching, and the songs they sang went right along with this. And last of all, are two things right here. Verse number 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. You want to survive the famine of hearing in this land? You need to know this is His Word. Shut everything else off that's not His Word. Fear God, hope in Him, and just wait on the Lord. People get in trouble when they get in a hurry and don't wait to hear from God, and they try to go hear from something else because they're impatient and they want answers now. God knows what's best for you. Wait on the Lord. If not, you'll start listening to voices. Most of the time, Satan doesn't have to whisper nothing because your heart is already running its mouth. It won't keep its mouth shut, so he has no room to talk because your heart is deceitful. It's wicked. That's what the Bible says. Wait on the Lord. Listen for that still small voice when he speaks. And last of all, how to survive the famine of our day, the famine of hearing. Verse number 21, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Just put all your faith and trust in Him and worship and rejoice Him. Shut off all the noise going on around us. Charles Spurgeon said, the preserver of men will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Power in human hands is outmatched by famine. But God is good at a pinch and proves His bounty under the most straitened circumstances. Believer, wait upon thy God in temporals. His eye is upon thee and his hands will not long delay. You can trust God this morning. Shut off all the noise. Ella, you come to the piano and play some. Let's all stand every eye closed. I just want to ask a question this morning. How's your hearing? How's your hearing? Listen, if God spoke to your heart this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, have respect for those. There's already some that are coming. What about you this morning? How's your hearing? How's your hearing? There's a famine in the land of the hearing of the Word of God. Not the preacher, not the preaching. There's plenty of those. But there's a famine of hearing. How's your hearing this morning? Why don't you let God help you? Why don't you let God give you some clarity? Why don't you let Him speak to you? She begins to play. God spoke to your heart. There's already some that have come. What about you this morning? Maybe there's somebody here that you're not saved. Maybe you've never been born again and washed in the blood. He wants to save you today. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of your sin, you're a sinner. It requires a payment. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He became the payment for you. Romans 5:8, but God commended this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation is simply, I'm a sinner, and Lord, asking you to come in my heart and save me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father, I'm a sinner, and Lord, I know you died on the cross for me. Would you save me? Oh, and He'll save you this morning. It's not in church membership. It's not in the water. It's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the work on Calvary that He did for you and I. Maybe there's somebody this morning that as these pray, you say, preacher, if I was to die today, I don't know where I'll spend eternity. Anybody like that at all? Say, preacher, I'd like to know how to be saved. We could take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man take you to one of these rooms back here, a lady, and we'll show you from the Word of God, the verses I just mentioned, show you how to be saved. Maybe child of God this morning, this message this morning was not meant to hurt anybody. It was meant to be an encouragement, a help. I know it doesn't seem to come across that way sometimes, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of noises out there, church, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get louder and more distracting. We need to put our eyes on Christ. Just as Peter did, he took his eyes off of him, began to sink. May we keep our eyes on the Savior. Maybe we listen for His voice. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. Are you hearing His voice this morning, or are you hearing other voices? There's still some praying. Please remain with your head bowed and eyes closed. Amen. All right, you can look up here. Appreciate you being good listeners this morning. And church, as I said just a moment ago, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help us. There's a lot of distracting voices out there. We need to know what the devil's doing. We need to understand that. If it sounds close and you just know there's not something quite right with it, it's probably not right. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The reason we do the things we do, this church and our family, and preach the way we do, is we want to please Christ. And you know, we're not perfect, but we try to line up with the Word of God. My job is to stand and preach and give you what God lays on our heart and try to help you. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to do whatever you want to do. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and Him to make a decision on what you're going to do. But I want to try to help us. We're going to stand before God one day. And I would like him, just like he did with Paul, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And I really doubt when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, you went a little too far on my Bible. I mean, you took the Bible thing a little too far. As a matter of fact, is the name of Jesus Christ is exalted above everything. And the only thing exalted above that is his word. You're going to tell me that we're going to take it too far? Amen. If he does that, then I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry for taking it too far. But I don't think it's going to happen. Amen. But what will happen is, hey, why didn't you take it more serious? Why did you listen to all the other voices? I was calling. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. We thank you, God, for your precious word. And Lord, Father, I tried to obey you this morning, Lord. And God, I pray that you are pleased with everything that's said and done. Father, may we have a church and homes and individuals, God, that desire to please you in everything. Father, there's so many distractions in this world. Father, the social media, the news, the government. Lord, there's distractions everywhere. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, Father. We were showed some things this morning, God, of what he's up to. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes and our ears on you, our hearts. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you for those that are here this morning. Lord, thank you for our visitors that came out this morning. Pray, God, you'd bless them, Father. Thank you. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.